What is going down, everyone? It's time for Mojo Break the Hype, episode 287. Bowman's in full swing. We've got another 10-case player break listed on mojobreak.com. Grab your players. That's going to kick off this Sunday, guys. So get your favorite player. Chase those super fractors. Bowman is strong, and we're still ripping it every day. But we got an exciting show for you guys. We're going to talk about the card trimming. Former NFL player Evan Mathis has put out a how-to card trimming. We're going to integrate that into talking about grading as well. We got Guess That Price that makes a return. Also, The Golden Show on Netflix, ranked number 9 right now amongst all Netflix shows. So we're going to talk about, is that good for the hobby? Is that bad for the hobby? I actually wanted to ask C-Rad right out of the gate, UFC, the card everybody's chasing. What are your thoughts on gimmick? Is it real? What do you think of long-term value on the Hasbulla card? As a UFC aficionado yourself.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously big-time UFC fan. Been watching since 2003. It was my first pay-per-view that I ever watched officially. So a long-time watcher, fan of MMA and UFC. I don't really know how I feel about the Hasbulla card. I guess... I think it's cool, a cool addition to have in the set. Obviously, it definitely has been driving the hype for this year's UFC Prism. Long-term outlook, like, he's not really, I mean,
what does he do for the UFC? I
mean, right, he's not a UFC fighter, so.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask, what is the connection?
He was a viral sensation. There's a video, the very first video of him was a mock like press conference where it was like him and another guy that's similar, that like they were gonna fight each other, and they're like kind of pushing each other back and forth, kind of like the face-offs that they have at all UFC events before the pay-per-view. So that kind of blew up, that went super viral, because people were like, is this a kid or is this like they didn't understand that at first. To your brain, you're like, these are kids like trying to fight each other, but then you realize, oh wait, they're actually like adults. Right, and then it went viral initially because it was so cool to see, like, people thought they were literally kids that were facing off, and he was like really like trying to kick them and like, you know, like push them around and stuff. So that's how he went viral, and then after that, everybody wanted to, you know, once you go viral, people want to be a part of it. So, you know, UFC, he got involved with UFC, he got involved with Khabib, you know what I mean? I believe he's Russian, so that's where the connection of that is, where with the Khabib connection. And then, you know, obviously once he went viral, then he started getting all kind of deals and being paid to show up to events and stuff like this. So that's how he blew up initially. So he's not an actual fighter. It's just he was literally a viral sensation.
I gathered that much. I think somebody put a big old bounty on it on a 101, right? Was it like 50, 60 grand or something like that? There's a bounty posted. Maybe we can do some research, but I think it's still. I think the true 101 is still out there.
And you saw that the 101 was actually pulled. Maybe it was a little bit of a goof, but yeah, I saw it was pulled. But from what I gather, this is essentially like. I'm trying to think of, like, who would be the ultimate super fan of, I don't know, basketball, football, baseball. But that's essentially what this is. It's like, let's put the biggest super fan of our sport, or the biggest name of our sport that has no affiliation to any, you know, fighter, or in this case,
Allen and Ginter had the Marlin man.
There, you know what? That Marlins man might be the closest thing.
Well,
here's
why I think it worked, because, you know, I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram Reels, I'm on Facebook Reels, and I think I see him every 10 or 20 of them. Somebody's using him as a meme, whether it be like, this is me walking into work, and it's him, you know, like doing something, or this is how I react to my wife when she says this, and it's him doing something, you know, like he's very like. Out there for that, almost like the who's the guy with the skibbity-bop-bop, and it's the guy with the belly. Like, is that the next guy that's gonna be?
Oh yeah, that guy. I've seen that guy. The guy with like the belly, like the big, like
yes,
very just the way it moves is very hypnotic. That's all I'll say. But yeah, you just gotta find. Just look up the guy belly.
What are we doing?
Prison baseball.
What's going on?
I mean, we gotta get the belly guy.
There's no like official boxing set, but to me this would also be, well, no, that's not true either, because he actually boxes, but like the, you know, Jake Paul throwing him in.
But I'm saying, is this like a situation, and it's very gimmicky, but could cards latch on to like these meme guys and go wild like what we're doing now with Hasbulla.
Are you showing the belly guy right now?
I'm trying to find the belly guy.
I think, I mean, like, ask yourself. like
the first thing that, was that a...
This guy.
That's the belly guy.
That doesn't move me the same way that
I've
I mean, he's
I've
certainly moving. That's
this,
for sure.
Is this a thing right now?
Yeah, this is big. I've
never seen this before in my life, and I pride myself in it.
This is the first time I'm seeing this as well.
I don't know if that's a real Putin there, but
that would be.
That's all
I mean, this is.
This is all you need.
We're doomed.
I mean, it's pretty incredible how he moves his belly.
Though. It is pretty incredible. Is it?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think it's hypnotic.
Incredible. Like, we're sitting here going, you know what? This is real talent we're looking at here.
It is.
This is real. This is greatness.
I mean, the smile, the belly. He's got the kicks. I mean, yeah, it's the next.
That's swag on another level, right?
Yeah,
there.
No, this is not the same as.
Let's get him in WWE or something. Like, you know, let's put him in UFC. Like, Prison Baseball 2023 needs some help.
We've set the bar pretty low now. The bar's low for being entertained. Is that entertainment?
Yeah, 100%.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I'm just over here. I'm just jealous. I'm jealous because I can't come up with something as great as that.
Yeah.
So you've never seen that until I showed
you? No. I've never seen it either.
You guys have never seen that?
No.
I don't.
Yeah, you've never seen it either?
No.
Okay.
So it's not as viral.
What is my algorithm?
I'll tell you right.
What's wrong with my algorithm?
Clearly, Doug and I are in some weird places on the internet.
Mine's still true to what it was before. It's a lot of stand-up comedians and ladies, I think.
Does anybody actually know the seconds you have to watch it? Like, if you see it for like more than 3 seconds, it's like, we're gonna show you another one of these later.
Well, and again, it was hypnotizing the first time I saw it. I was like, how is this? It's moving in a way that doesn't feel like it doesn't even feel natural. Like, what is happening here?
I don't know.
It is a talent.
That comes up, and I'm just like, bam, up.
Nah. Yeah.
Up.
Bro, like, I haven't seen that video that you guys just showed. But to me, it's something that I can. It feels like something that's been done before.
I think what we have learned, and we just stumbled across it. We need to have a segment where we go over. We do like the Beavis
and Butthead.
We all
need to grow bigger bellies?
No. We basically watch viral videos that are on TikTok
and react to
it. And then try to figure out what the hell they mean.
Yeah, and then figure out what set should they go in? What cards should we be collecting? Like I said, the closest we're going to get to Hasbulla in another set is probably the Paul brothers in something. Logan Paul is now in WWE. Is that right?
He's officially in WWE. So his cards will probably be in Prism next year.
Yeah. So that's going to be and guess I bet you that will be a Hasbulla level chase. I think it'll be bigger.
I think it'll be bigger.
Yeah.
I
think Hasbulla is a national treasure.
Unless,
is what it is.
Unless wrestling fans won't, maybe they won't like.
Yeah,
Logan Paul.
That's to me the only thing holding it back is that he is so unlikable to a good amount of people that they're just gonna be like, no way do I want to chase him.
I mean,
but he's also got such a massive.
But isn't
following.
That, isn't that the whole thing about WWE? Is that being a villain is
being
like,
a heel?
Yeah.
What people
I don't think it's gonna be as big. Obviously, Logan Paul and his brother are big social media stars, but I think there's some fatigue with those brothers as well. You know what I mean? Like some point, like we're just over it.
You're telling me, jiggling
stomach.
I'd
much rather have that.
I will tell you guys, like, the reason why Hasbulla is so big is because, and anytime anything goes super viral, like how Hasbulla did, it has to be kind of something we've never really seen before. So like him, like, you know, obviously whatever his condition, like we've never seen, like it was weird because like. It felt very adultish, like the way they were, the way they set up that press conference of him, like, you know, attacking the other guy. But at the same time, it's like I said, like, you don't know if it's a little kid or it's a grown man. So this
he?
Like we've never seen
He's
them.
Like 20.
We've never seen anybody do that before, and it was like it was a very not novel thing, and it was the first time we've all seen that. So I feel like in order to go viral, it has to be. I feel like that belly thing. Like other guys have probably done that in the past. 100%.
Where have you seen it then?
Exactly.
On the internet.
That's what I'm saying.
Jeez. Go on YouTube.
He's got talent.
YouTube belly dance man.
No talent. That is not talent. It's not talent.
I guarantee you go on YouTube.
Come on.
Belly dance man. There's going to be 100 different guys that pop up like that.
Don't look this up right now. This is going down a weird path. Oh, well, there we go. And there he is.
Yeah.
There we are.
Look, this is a genius, though. Look, this guy has a restaurant. If I had a restaurant, I'm paying this guy to come out and do the video.
I think it's just gravity is what we're really
It's a little bit of gravity.
I think what we're like it's gravity that really is what's bringing
the talent.
But
it's always with the same song too. The scooby bop bop.
I mean, I don't have the belly of that man's size, but certainly sporting a solid belly, I can do that.
Cody, if you really train and put your mind to it, I'm pretty sure you can achieve it.
Well, then this is the goal. This is, you know what? We're almost at the halfway point of the year. This is my half year resolution is to be on that guy's level.
Well, see, it's definitely like when you're eating like the seventh or eighth piece of pizza, you're like, well, maybe there's a chance now. So it's a little self-justification of like, I can still have a career if I
gain 100 pounds. Everybody needs to have goals.
I like
this
guy. I like him.
And that's that is where we're at. So
actually, it would be pretty easy to mirror the video onto the screen. Maybe that's something we do.
Let us know, guys. Do you want UFC Prism cards of the belly dancer?
Yes,
man.
100%.
Yeah, so, Brian Gray's been doing some. I think he had a little bit of Paul.
That's where it's going.
But I don't think it has enough legs as a licensed product.
He's been doing a lot of like print to order type of cards, and I mean, I saw there's a pickleball guy today.
Yeah, we're not far from cornhole, guys.
Have we gotten? And we'll get back on track here, but Well, I mean, it's staying on schedule. It's staying on track with Hasbulla, but have we ever gotten like a social media stars or like a viral stars set? Like, I feel like that could be.
Optic had fans of the game where they had it was Optic Football. It was like Alyssa Milano had a card.
It's the first one that comes to my mind too.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm talking about like
I was gonna go like Alyssa Milano.
Does it? I mean, like I was gonna say that I tried to say this earlier. Ginter has these type of subjects every single year.
But I'm talking like
Goodwin
right.
Champions have these subjects every single year.
Cody wants a standalone social media influencer product.
Yeah, that's right. No. I mean, Ginter probably has like TikTok stars at this point, I'd imagine, or probably is trending towards that. But like I'm talking about, I want a legacy set. I want the Leave Britney Alone guy.
The guy that
I have no interest in
the highest YouTube video of all time.
I have no interest in collecting these social stars.
What is the Leave Britney Alone guy?
Oh, come on. You don't remember Leave Britney Alone?
He's like, Leave Britney Alone.
Yeah.
Hair and a little bit of
Chris something.
He's like crying. He's like when people were attacking Britney a lot, and he's like, Leave Britney Alone.
Yes, and
like,
guess what?
Chris
and guess
Rocker.
What? And guess what? He was right.
What?
Man was right. we're really
what's going on?
this is old. This is like 2008. No. This is not new.
What?
Yeah.
Go back to
under the covers.
Right there, the first one.
The man was justified.
Dude, I've never seen this.
Yeah, it was super
amazing. And I
you have been tracking every move of the.
I pride myself in knowing a lot about Britney Spears.
Yeah,
he was part of the. I would say, Cody, I don't know if you agree with this. That was one of the first. If not the first, like maybe like first 10 or 20, like super internet viral moments.
It was a huge,
the beginning of the Britney army.
I would say it's like that second generation of major viral moments, but you're right. There's definitely.
It was the early YouTube days.
Revolution of Dance was number one, right?
Revolution of Dance.
And then Johnny Bit My Finger.
I mean, you want to go Stone Age.
I remember that one.
Stone Age,
I remember.
Stone Age viral sensations, The Dancing Baby. Does anyone remember The Dancing Baby? Baby, no.
Wasn't that a Pepsi commercial?
No, it was. Well, one, it was on Ally McBeal, but it was only after it became.
Are you sure,
a
it
sensation.
Wasn't a Pepsi commercial.
Might have also been in Pepsi, but it was like the first big viral sensation was The Dancing Baby.
It could be a standalone set.
Well, we gotta get Dancing Baby.
Let's get into some card trimming, which is something that we don't do or advocate, but we want to talk about it here on the show. Also, feel free to chime in on the hype. Facebook group if you want to weigh in on this or through Twitter, mojobreak_com. But Evan Mathis, former NFL pro card collector, put out a how-to video on how to trim a vintage card, which gave you all the tools that you need and how he did it. Also showed him putting some extra wax on the card as well. And it was reported, I think Sports Card Radio was one of the first outlets to put it out. And it comes with them talking about there's other bigger trimmers. He's just a very small trimmer in the whole scheme of people that do trim, but he's obviously a former NFL player, so he's getting the most notoriety in it. Definitely the video's cringe from a hobbyist. I don't think you should ever alter a card, in a sense that I don't even believe that you should try to take ink off a card, trim edges, wipe edges. I mean, even wiping is a little like, you know, I guess fingerprints you could take off a card, but I mean, the card came out of the pack. It's supposed to come out of the pack a certain way. I mean, what are your guys' thoughts on this? And actually, first, have you even seen the, you've seen part of the video, you said,
I've
right?
only seen part of the video, yeah. I turned it off pretty fast because, I don't know, I just didn't feel the, like, my initial reaction was that, wow, somebody actually put this out. That's a trimmer. Like, I don't get it. Like, I literally don't get it. Like, if you're a trimmer, why would you ever put out a video? Like, that was my first thought. And then I watched I watched it a little bit, and then I just turned it off. And
I mean, some may say this is like a restoration of an old vintage car, that you're restoring it back to its original shape, or you're trying to get it like it's pack pulled, so it needs a little bit of restoration. And that's how people justify that. I don't agree with it, but is there any justification, Dan, of trimming cards or altering them?
I think if you look at it as art, I think in the art community, I think they do restore classic art pieces. So I guess you could make... If you wanted to play devil's advocate and say that this is why it's okay, you can go that route. I'm not going that route. I don't think there's any need for it in our industry. I think if you go back through our archives, we've talked about this as well. We've talked about the difference between altering a card, restoring a card,
cleaning a card.
I mean, cleaning a card, adding ink to it. I think there's that, the famous Juan Soto card.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That somebody, the ink ran onto the edge and they just wiped it off a little bit. I don't think that's okay.
No.
I think the card wasn't originally in that condition. So I think you just can't mess with it. I feel that Evan Mathis is actually I think the trimming video is
satire,
maybe. I think he might be trolling the card community. I don't know. Like, everybody knows. It's like probably 95% of the card community frowns upon trimming and alterations of cards.
Yeah. So there's no way he wouldn't know.
So he knows. So he might be just doing it to piss people off and get clicks.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely that scenario that could be happening with this as well. I mean, it's hard, I guess, to put in a consumer perspective. I mean, if you have vintage cards, say you paid, I don't know, maybe you bought a 52 Mantle for six figures, and you find out it's trimmed, what do you do? Do you just accept the fact that you have a trimmed card?
Well, I'm sitting there thinking about it. We have a couple... I mean, a decent amount of vintage cards. It's safe to say that there is a percentage in there that are probably trimmed,
right,
or altered, without us knowing about it,
right.
To say that none of them are is probably highly unlikely.
Well, when is it okay, Cody? Is it okay to take a corner that's soft and try to flatten it down? Is that okay?
I'm kind of in the same boat as Dan, where I'm like, I don't really think there's many places for this. I think we're all kind of in agreement. It doesn't feel okay in any way, shape, or form. I think especially, to me, the most egregious is the actual cutting of it. He even digs in the video where he's kind of like, these tiny little pieces of cardboard is going to make the blowout forums go crazy. He knows what he's doing here. He's like, you know what? I'll come clean. I don't know why, especially if it's like, I am curious, does he know something we don't, of like, is he clear of any sort of legal action? Like, because we know he's had a huge collection, and it could come back to bite him potentially.
Well, I mean,
right?
It's his property to do whatever he wants.
Sure,
but if
it's stuff that he has sold and stuff that he has gotten graded and has then flipped, then isn't he at least... Isn't there a chance of some sort of legal repercussions?
I don't know.
Here?
I mean, it's the burden of proof, right? Because once it's in a holder, then you're saying, well, that grading company is saying it's not trimmed. Because right. there obviously
then it's
is,
on them, I guess.
There is the authentic altered cards you see. That means it's been trimmed or something, and they catch those. But I guess the bigger issue, and I think it was on the latest Sports Card Radio video, and I think they're going to be doing another video, plug to them, is these big accounts that have huge accounts with PSA, have huge accounts with BGS, have huge accounts with SGC, whatever grading company they may be doing. I'm talking about, like, you know, they're submitting hundreds of thousands of cards a year. I don't think that there's could be a blind eye being turned here, you know, because this is our big customer. He spends $1 million with us in grading. He drops his cards off. We don't question it. We grade them. We send them to him. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that's actually fact, but as we know, money moves the needle here, guys. And some of these guys that are attached to some of these big cards submit a lot of cards. I mean, you're talking about, you know, a PSA 5 mantle to a PSA 9, we're talking about life-changing money. We're talking about it is worth it to try to for a scammer to trim a card to get an extra couple $100,000 here. So it's happening. And you hope these grading companies catch it. But when you're dealing with vintage cards that could already be maybe cut a little longer, it's almost impossible to catch for some of these grading companies. And you throw in the fact, like I said, that you have big whales that send their cards in, group submitters that send their cards in, and they're trustworthy because they spend a lot of money and they have a big business, and they're not even going to question it. Whether, you know, guys like us that maybe submit 10 cards a year, they are going to question those and send them back or not authenticate them.
You think for these grading companies, you think it's hard to find these trim cards, or is it easier to, like you said, turn a blind eye to a big spender, big account, and just go, well, we're just not going to look at them? Like, because let's face it, like, these vintage cards, like, the first thing that you should be able to do is to see if it is the correct size before you even go through, like, centering, surface, corners. Make sure the card is the correct size.
Well, I mean, I think here's the issue is back then that those were hand cut, so they could have already been cut.
I mean, true.
That's the issue, is not all cards are exactly cut the right way, so there's not a real gauge on it. Now, I don't know if you could look at, like, the edges, the corners, to see if it's been cut, like, with a magnifying glass, to see if there's, you know, a different type of serrated blade that cut through it. There might be ways. I'm not an expert in that field to know. But it is scary when you're thinking about, you know, big $500,000 plus cards that, you know, could be altered.
But also you see an account submit 400, 500, 600 vintage cards, right? Just so happens they're all just impeccable corners, impeccable edges. Like, if it's the same thing with when we talk about it, when a deal is too good to be true, there's probably something wrong with the deal, right?
Sure.
Probably something shady going on.
Yep.
Isn't there the same thing with this scenario? 400 vintage cards get submitted, and they just all have great corners. There's nothing that's...
Well, and I mean, to give... And I don't know if the company's ever going to take off, but, like, I sat through a demonstration from Tag Grading, and I know they've been around at a lot of shows, and I don't know if a lot of people are using Tag Grading, but they will actually show you, like, how they graded it based on, like, different things that you could zoom in based on their QR code on the back of their slab, and they show you why it got the grade that it got. I think there's a lot of that not happening in the industry with the other guys, because they're like, why do we need to show that? That's going to cost us more money. We're not going to get anything out of it. So why show any transparency? Whether it's Tags just trying to gain customers through transparency because they know their competitors aren't transparent, so they're doing things transparent. As far as I know, I've never used them, so I don't know. I'm just saying, I sat through the demonstration and it seemed like there was a lot of things that was computer generated that graded cards. But PSA, I mean, we don't know. Like I said, I mean, a guy comes in spending $2 million on grading, you're probably gonna want that guy to come back next year, right? So give him, instead of a 7, you're giving him an 8. I'm not saying that's happening, but it's a money-driven industry, and when it comes to business, things like that happen. And your account rep, you got a big account comes in, you want to make them happy. What's the best way to make somebody happy when you're doing grading? Is grading the cards higher. Simple as that. So there's a lot of room for less transparency.
So. Oh, grading.
I feel like one of my big takeaways going through this, and by the way, also looking at this week's Guess That Price, is that maybe raw cards are fine. Maybe it's okay to just...
It is
that's
okay.
That's what you like to collect, and it doesn't need to be graded. And if you want to do that and buy and sell those cards, you could do fine. Maybe there isn't that.
I think for a long time we've been putting way too much value. On graded cards.
But it, you know, but to be a devil's advocate on what you just said, if you're collecting, that's fine. But if you're selling, it's not. You have to have it graded.
Because I mean,
you get so many people, like, you know, dealing on eBay, and I'm sure customers and collectors on this that are listening to the show right now can attest. As you think the card's fine, you don't say anything about any grade. You sell it. And maybe it's like Joel Embiid, and then he gets knocked out, and then somebody's like, "Well, the corners are bad. I'm sending it back. You didn't tell me about the corners."
The real money, the real money right now is still always going to be with grading, and probably always will be. But yeah, if you're just kind of content with, look, I like this hobby, and make a few, and I can make some money doing it, then I feel like you're probably your best bet is doing raw cards. If you feel all of these issues with. That these potential issues with grading and trimming and all that. And just kind of another point I was thinking about, you mentioned the idea of like viewing them as art and restoration and car restoration. What the oldest card out there that's graded? What will we guess? Probably 100, 110, 120 years old?
I think there's 1880 versions of tobacco cards
so,
out there.
So maybe 105, maybe 125, 130 years old at this point, which in the grand scheme of things, if we're looking at like art pieces, there's literally, you can go to the Louvre and look at 500, 600-year-old pieces of art that have to be restored. At what point, and it may be after we're all long gone, but is there going to come a point where people look at card restoration, trimming or whatever you call it, and say, well, it has to be acceptable because stuff like an Honus Wagner card, this is a 200-year-old card now. The only way that we're going to be able to preserve it is by altering it, by restoring it in some way.
Well, and I understand what you're saying, but I think with art, and I'm not a guy that collects art, but I'm assuming most of that is retouching it up with paint, right? It's maybe the wrong paint that was used.
But there's also,
wasn't the Mona Lisa had to be repainted at some point?
But there's only one.
Like, right, true. That's true.
That's the other thing. Like, we're like restoring something that there's...
Irreplaceable.
Well, there is only one of them, as opposed to cards. And I mean, a lot of the vintage cards we're talking about, there's more than one. There's not a ton of them, but there's more than one.
Yeah,
I think that's where it comes into. Like, you don't restore the Mona Lisa. That's the only one that exists. So you have to do whatever you can to restore it,
to preserve it.
And that's why, and like, if you're dealing with serial numbered cards, like modern cards, there's a little bit more of a track record that you could see if it was graded before, or maybe find photos. We've seen that stuff on the blowout forums where guys have gotten caught because it's been a trimmed card, or the ink's been fixed because it's the same serial number. Vintage cards is definitely a tough ball game to find out, especially with the archaic technology that those things were made with back then. You know what I mean?
That just makes me think, like, you know, there's always the big debate of, like, should you collect vintage or should you collect modern? And then, like, this has always been a scary part of vintage, right? Is because, yeah, they were hand-cut, and there's a lot of hanky-panky going on in terms of, like, trimming. And then also just, like, people trying to reproduce these vintage cards, right, more easily than modern cards. So I think, like, there's obviously – there's always going to be value in both. And, I mean, I do love – I do the idea of owning and collecting and keeping vintage cards for a long time. I love that idea. But modern cards are, like – especially the numbered stuff, it's like, you're right, it's a lot more, we know where it is, where it's been, is where it's come from, and you know, we can keep track of it a lot easier than a lot of these vintage cards.
Yeah, 100%.
But I was gonna ask you one more thing. The tag demonstration, was there any like translogical morphotations on
man,
that's great.
I mean, we could do a whole segment just on the HGA tutorial video. I mean,
technology and stuff.
Was there any exponential translogical manifestations of exponentially
that in the
extraterrestrial?
It wasn't even that long ago, but that was around the same time. You also had the Master P grading.
Oh yeah,
yeah. What happened?
You don't know
what I'm talking about. Oh my god, just wait.
When he's just like, this grading make you go, like,
man, I forgot that happened.
I mean, so hell good. Yeah. And he's like dressed up in a, he has like a lab coat.
Absolutely incredible.
Oh, dude, you know it, you know that video exists somewhere on the internet. HGA absolutely took it down, but that video exists somewhere on the internet.
HGA is no longer.
They are gone, I believe.
There it is. I mean, this is good stuff.
This is the Master P one?
This is the Master P one. And
you could probably just fast forward this part of the podcast later.
What were they called? What was it called? His company? I'll see if
they're
still
AGS grading.
Oh, AGS.
AGS grading. Okay, are they still a thing? Let's see.
I mean,
yeah, they're still there. They're still around.
Yeah, and they were doing Pokemon TSG.
Yeah, AGS still around right now. $18 per card.
Not doing sports cards, though.
They may have changed. I'll have to check. But, yeah, it was only, like, Pokemon, I believe. There it is. There it is. Oh, no. Guess what? Now doing sports cards.
There we go.
All right. AGS.
I mean, is that an Alienware computer? Yeah.
They're definitely still
around.
They got,
like, some kind of crazy-looking Easy Bake oven they put the Pokemon card in.
I could have sworn I saw that logo at the Mint somewhere. I could have sworn. So they're still around. They are still around. Master P still doing it.
Thanks, Master P. He's like, let me just take this Pokemon card and put it into my microwave.
Quite a career.
He's got his ring on.
Now, if it comes out and it has two of them.
Uh-oh. Wrong machine.
Yes.
Artificial intelligence.
Automated grading services.
That's right.
But you know what?
That's
transparency. That is transparency.
They show you how they do it.
How do I get one?
I
want
to
get the microwave looking thing.
Well, guys, this is our freaking podcast, and it's time to talk about Netflix. The show, The Golden Touch, guys, sits on 4.2 acres. But Ken Golden.
I saw what you did there.
Yeah. You see that? This is our freaking podcast.
I saw what you did there.
It's in the top 10 shows right now, guys. There's 6 episodes. I watched them all. I want to get your guys' thoughts. Have you watched all the episodes yet?
I have absolutely not yet.
I have.
I've been watching Love is Blind.
I have, and I...
Oh, that's the... that. Now, there's the collaboration we need. Golden Touch, Love is Blind. Okay. Make it happen.
Love is Blind, I have not seen that.
Yeah, the wife watches that one. It's all right. It's interesting.
I think I can...
They have to talk for hours before they see each other.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What?
Yeah, it's like they're in different pods, and they're talking to each other. And
so you get to know
on
the
who they want to date.
You see what they look like.
Yeah. Not even date. It's you have to talk to people, you don't see them, and then you decide who you're gonna marry, get engaged to.
This is
that's how crazy it is.
So this is stage, and this is not a thing.
Oh no, it's a thing.
No, it's not.
It's a thing.
No, it's not.
It's as real as reality television gets, which means 50-50.
Now, I thought the show was well done. It definitely had a Selling Sunset type of vibe, or Storage Wars vibe, kind of, or Pawn Stars vibe to it. As a industry nerd, I liked it. I think there was a lot of stuff that I'm familiar with, so it was very appealing to me. Not a whole lot of card stuff. They did do the triple logo, man. This is a spoiler alert for you guys that haven't watched the show. There was a Steph Curry gold they talked about. They also had the Lewis Hamilton Super Fractor Auto that they had in the show as well.
Nice.
But most of it was all different. It was mostly memorabilia. At one point, they were selling a house. Purses. Some people I've talked to in this industry have said it was just an infomercial for Golden, a 6-episode infomercial to use Golden. That not only does he do cards, not only does he do memorabilia really well, but he also will sell anything. Apple computers, old Apple computers, he'll sell as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I thought, like I said, I thought it was well done. I don't know if it's going to bring people in the hobby necessarily, because I think there's still a lot of gray area on what we're talking about. I mean, he did give some background on some of these cards and things like that, where to get them, and showed a little bit of breaks. I mean, I don't even think they showed. They showed Backyard's feed, but they didn't mention Backyard whatsoever as pulling the logo man.
No.
They showed the people that own the logo man, though.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think I don't know what it's going to do for our industry. I felt it was pretty on par with pretty much every reality show I've ever seen. Production was really good. Storylines were decent. And I'm gonna be a little critical. What I felt that it lacked is that personality that people would get attached to. I like Pawn Stars has like Chumlee.
Yeah, so right? They didn't have the characters.
Like, didn't have like that over the top like character or entertainment that like draws you in, that makes you want to watch, or somebody that has that you don't like that makes you want to tune in. It just didn't have. I thought the character that was that in there that actually had the most like comic relief was Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I thought Peyton Manning was, and I like Ken. I like Ken. I like Golden. I like his whole staff, and I thought they did a really good job. But as far as entertainment, I thought Peyton Manning was the most entertaining person. The jabs that he had with about Eli and stuff like that, I actually thought it was that was my favorite part of it.
Yeah, I mean, he had Logan Paul in there and convinced him to open $200,000-$300,000 boxes that they didn't get anything in, and Logan Paul felt bad about it. And then he offered to, I guess Logan Paul has one of the most expensive Pokemons in the world. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the first one of the first tournaments you'd ever win. There was like a trainer card that's like sparkly or something. I'm showing my lack of Pokemon knowledge here, but Ken was trying to tell him, I think I can get you $7.5 million for that card. Mm-hmm. And you know, he was thinking about consigning with Golden there. So once again, kind of a infomercial. The one guy, I think he's worked for him for a couple years now, but Dave Ammerman, which is one of the guys that is like one of the main stars of the show, Ken's like right hand man. That guy was in a bunch of other reality shows prior to that, so he had a pretty big Instagram following, I think, when he joined Golden. So I think it made sense to have him on camera. They had Alex.
He has a lot of the experience being on those type of shows.
Yeah, and I think what's her name? Alex. How do you say her last name?
Gia Emo, who used to be a New York Jets reporter, worked in the sports media world.
Yeah, and I think she's now with MLB. She's no longer with Golden, but was with Golden during the filming of this show. So they were trying to make. You talk about characters. I think they were trying to make characters out of those two people. But
yeah, I mean, but you watch Selling Sunset, and
they got a whole roster, they
have characters that people yeah. tune in because of. You either like or dislike a certain character. I felt, again, this was only 6 episodes,
yeah,
and I don't know if we're gonna see more,
yeah,
but you just didn't have that character that you were just like, man, I'm gonna keep on watching this because I want to see what this person is going to do or say.
Well, and he did pay homage to, I don't know if you guys remember, it was a show on ABC. It was shown on like Saturday at like 10 o'clock, and I barely watched any episodes. It was, I think it was called The Ball Boys, and it was based in a card shop, and these two guys were on the show. So it's like they paid, they work for, I believe they're the item scouts now for Golden, but it's kind of like they brought them in as like, hey, we're paying homage to these guys, having one of the first show on collectibles. And they have them in a little bit as well. So I think that show was like a one season thing. It didn't really take off very well.
If you were looking to just like, because clearly this is a show done to be like, I think it's I think overall this is probably a great. I think it's a good thing for the hobby. It's a great thing that people are getting mainstream knowledge about this out there now. But I think if you were looking for like, let's just make a huge splash and don't care what people think about us or this industry, the Vegas Dave show is really what you should have done. That's really where you should have gone.
You want to talk about a character.
Exactly.
That people will be like, I dislike that guy so much.
I would be hate watching the hell out of that show.
They would watch it every single episode because they're like, that dude pisses me off.
But again, not the face of the industry that
they
should have been on it though.
Ken
yes.
did refer to that I caught, and I was like, I'm like, don't love that terminology, and I wish he would have said something else. But
the flawless,
yeah, when he was like, opening up wax is like the closest thing to gambling as you can get, and I'm all, yeah, let's not do that, like. I mean, I know.
Yeah, I caught that too. I also noticed that some of the appraisals of some of those cards, I think he said like a Larry Bird 101 was like a $10,000 card out of Flawless or something. And that's overhype for a show. I mean,
yeah, you have to do that for the show.
You have to kind of like go above, but like, yeah. it was a lot of like, this is how much this is worth. I think that's where the wow factor was, is like, this Lewis Hamilton Superfractor, somebody's offering $750,000 for this car.
Well, what are you going to say? Like, this was a $20,000 box. This Larry Bird is worth $115 at auction.
That's when you call
like,
the... That's,
that isn't going to jump off the... I mean, it's going to jump off the screen and like, they completely... The opposite way that they're trying.
That's
they're
the
trying
moment
to make it happen.
You call the Pawn Stars guys, and Rick from Pawn Stars got, nah, best I could do $500. That's the best I could do. Sorry.
But as far as our industry, I don't think it's gonna make a huge difference. Because again, it didn't focus on cards. It focused on memorabilia and cards, but mostly memorabilia. And with the memorabilia, I think it cast a broader audience than just sports cards, and I think that's why they went that direction.
Well, yeah. I mean, and let's face it, Golden's business is based on unique items, and there's not a lot of unique cards besides one of ones, things like that. So you know you're not going to show a LaMelo Ball silver prism on there because there's not a lot of rarity, and people that have a card like that are going to probably sell more likely on eBay, where Golden is going to sell the unique items, and he has his portfolio of large buyers that are looking to spend a lot of money on stuff like a Jordan game used jersey or stuff that he was showing.
I get that, and they did talk a lot about game used. We know how big of, being into collectibles, we understand how big of a deal that is.
Yeah.
The general public does not.
Right.
And I think every time they were like, game used, people were probably like, Michael Jordan played in a lot of basketball games. Like, Michael Jordan probably has a lot of game used jerseys.
Yeah.
Why do I care about that game used jersey, and why does it go for so much?
Yeah. I'll tell you whose jersey I don't want from yesterday's game, Jordan Poole. Anyways.
He's not Steph. He hit six threes.
He was 6 for 10 before he took that shot.
I mean, 11 seconds left and you shoot from almost half court.
Yeah, I get
you don't take that shot.
I understand court.
That shot goes in, you have a completely different look on Jordan Poole.
I do get that there was more time to make a better decision. They probably should have just called timeout. But I also at the same time, I also live with that shot, knowing that he was 6 of 10 for last night. So he had every capability of making that shot too.
Yeah, I mean he's just and we don't have him in a lot of big moments like we do Steph. I mean,
how about we try not shooting a three. How about we try like maybe going to the going?
No,
to
that's
the hoop.
Not a good idea.
Wiggins was wide open under the hoop.
So
I'm
we play one dimensional. We are a one dimensional basketball team.
AD blocked every single shot in the paint that we tried to make.
But you don't just quit.
Also, don't get outshot.
Or you could give Anthony Davis 20 blocks a game.
Don't get outshot by 20 free throws either.
You don't basically go like. Because, I mean, you're setting the example now. Like,
they literally went from having like Looney to be like. It's Stephen Looney's team to like he's sitting on the bench now because he can't guard
Looney.
Anthony
Looney
Davis.
Had over 20 rebounds.
Well, yeah, Looney.
I think the problem is that they had Loon and Dre on the floor a lot too many times at the same time, which is not ideal against
that team.
Yeah, against that team. So
yeah, we can't. Warriors can't go big.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm honestly. I mean,
I laugh about that.
And LeBron did not play very well. So.
Well, he hasn't been playing well this year.
LeBron played fine.
Yeah, he's good. He's still. Wait a minute.
Did he shoot like 30%?
He's one from 8 from 3 points.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean,
yeah.
That's never been a huge part of his game.
But
we know that.
But if you watch LeBron, even Draymond said this on his podcast last night. He says LeBron is playing very differently than he's ever seen LeBron
that
play.
I'll agree
why,
with.
Why is Draymond on a podcast after losing a game?
Because he always has.
He does every time.
We should probably try to figure out how to get to the line.
So like okay, LeBron is still going to be effective, of course. Like he still had a decent game, but like let's face it, like he's dealing with a foot injury too. That's probably why Draymond mentioned that he's playing off the ball a lot now, where he's usually the main guy with the ball in his hands.
And actually, their strategy against Steph and Clay was what? Just leave two guys to chase him around and then block up the middle. And I think it was pretty solid.
I'm just glad that suddenly the narrative today, or yesterday, if you're listening to this on Thursday, is Jared Vanderbilt, Steph stopper. The moment you put that out there in the ether, Steph reads that and goes, oh, hell no. No, yeah. You are not. Well, he's going to drop 45.
I actually have. We have a Jared Vanderbilt NTRPA somewhere. I'm about to be ready. It's like, yeah, just
flip it now.
Sell it right now.
Right now.
Yeah, I heard all the Laker fans. They're like, we're cooking curry tonight. We're cooking curry.
Yeah, one game.
I mean, did we... I think the consent. This is going to be a long series, right?
Yeah.
It was a great game. Yeah.
It's going to be a long series. And did we really think, like, the Lakers... We're not going to win one out of the first two.
Yeah.
Laker fans, look, enjoy it. Going to be, like you said, I think it'll be a deep series. But then, a good thing it'll be a long series because then the wait for Dallas Cowboys training camp is only a few weeks after that. So enjoy it while you can.
Well, they have the Yankees, too. So.
Yes, of course. Yankee baseball, look, they're only a game over 500. Aaron Judge is hurt, but hey, maybe he'll be back. He'll be all right, Laker fans. Don't worry.
Are you alluding to, like... If you're a Laker fan, you're a Cowboy yes. fan and a Yankee fan.
Correct. Everyone knows this. If you're a Laker fan,
hockey. What's their hockey team?
Who the hell?
Lightning.
Knows? Yeah, maybe the Lightning. Maybe yeah, the Detroit Red Wings. That's who it would have been. Yeah. Anyone who was really good in the '90s to 2000s. That's who they root for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's time to get into Guess That Price, right? Bowman is here. Bowman's out. We've ripped, I don't even know. I think we're getting close to 100 cases now, but we've ripped a lot of Bowman. Before we get into Guess That Price, though, I do want to ask you guys, what's your opinion on the lunar lava parallel, like the more parallels? I mean, that's probably the biggest complaint. I think it's a great overall product in terms of hitting talent and talent that we have years to prospect on, and there's going to be some superstars out of this year. I think this is one of the better Bowman draft classes, but what do we think about all the color additions?
I like the green grass.
The green grass is pretty cool. Is that what it's called, the grass
barrel? Yeah, green grass.
Green grass.
Nope.
On the stream, we're just like, we like green grass.
Yeah, number to 99. I guess that's a I actually might prefer that over the old standard green to 99.
Yeah.
I mean, but there isn't as much. I mean, they've done away. There's been parallels of Bowman that have came and went, right?
I was going to say, how many new ones are we talking? I know the green grass.
There's
the
a blue lunar. There's like a lunar version of every color.
A different colored lunar.
Yeah, there's a lunar for every color.
So they've essentially doubled the amount of parallels.
Right, right.
But the box prices are higher. The demand's higher. So if people are buying and selling, really it should equal itself out, right? Now, I mean, the true blues, the true golds, all those should still carry their weight and actually should be propped up even more because now the odds are even harder to hit those. So, but you know, I mean, some guys are coming out. Drew Jones is, what would you say? I mean, Drew Jones still coming out a decent amount, right? He's not too hard to hit.
Yeah. We've seen a decent amount with the amount that we did last week, I would say.
Is there any guy that you've seen, like, that you just don't see a lot of as in terms of the cases that you've done?
I was going to say the opposite. Is there any guy that you see a lot of?
Voit.
One guy. Voit,
Junior
Voit. Voit, you see a lot. Yeah, Spencer Jones is probably the hardest one to hit out of the bigger names.
And he's a redemption everything, right?
And he's a redemption. Now, when I say harder, like, it felt like he came out like a little bit less than Drew Jones did. So they're both a little bit tougher, but those two guys are up there.
Now, somebody was telling me in the chat, and I'll believe it when I see it, but that there is a way to figure out how many base autos are signed of each player, because that's always a big mystery of Bowman. You know, you have the numbered cards, so you can do the math on the numbered cards, but we don't know if Drew Jones signed 50 base cards or 5,000. We don't know because they're not numbered. So that makes a guy harder to be hit. There was somebody in the chat. I didn't get the website, but they're saying that they have those numbers. So I don't know. We'll have to further update you guys on that.
Well, have we seen a Drew Jones base auto?
Yeah, I hit one on Monday.
I don't get how you would determine that.
Right, unless Topps came out with it.
This guy, some sort of...
Because you can't go based off the other parallels.
No, you can't.
Like, you can guess how many cases were made based off the parallels.
I mean, unless you took a scale of, like, 500 cases and you did an average. But then
yeah, you do a round. Maybe you could do, like, you could make an educated guess, but there's no way you can exactly know how many base autos there were unless Topps told you.
Right. And is it better for us to not know? I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? So
I think so.
All right. Well, kick it off, Cody. We got Guess That Price.
All right, time for Guess That Price. Of course, this is all Bowman edition.
I figured.
We should have the backdrop. Skip it about.
That's what the dance. Oh, our friend. Yeah. My friend. Belly. He's my new friend.
Your friend.
Yeah, he's my new.
Your friend.
My new best friend.
Your guys' algorithm.
That guy. I like that guy. Okay, anyway. here we go. First up, this is grass one of the big.
I hit one of those.
There you go. We're talking about the green grass parallels.
I hit one of those.
This is one of the big prospects, Cam Collier, Cincinnati Reds. Also, his dad was a major leaguer, I believe.
Of course he was.
Yeah, of course he was.
It's the only way you get in baseball
now. This is a number to 99. Green grass, first Bowman auto of Cam Collier.
We like green grass.
He struggled on that one, didn't he?
I was going to say, he just is like, I'm going to sign right on the Reds logo.
He's all, wherever I'm going to sign, that's, you're going to like it.
Yep. There you go. There's been a few of his like
So this was done auction or buy it now?
All of these are auction. Okay. Every single card that was sold here,
they got them up quick.
They did. This is actually everything. Actually, this card was sold April 26th, which that might have been. God, when was released?
One day auction.
I was going to say. Yeah, it was literally the day after it came out. The day it came out. Yeah, one day auction. Wow. April 26th, it sold 31 bids.
I don't know if that was necessarily a good idea.
Yeah, I know. Greengrass Auto. Everything else sold April 30th, by the way. So traditional.
What about if we came out with a Bowman that was like Bowman OG?
Yeah, you were talking about that on Monday. I love that.
Yeah, which like is only the original parallels in Bowman.
All right, C-Rad's the...
No, I lost the last one.
Yeah, who won the last
one?
Oh,
Dan must
have. Oh, yeah. I think it was Dan, right?
It was me.
Yeah, all right, so you go first.
I'm winner. Not on this one, though. $1,300.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
$1,300.
$876, Bob.
What do we do here?
Do we get half a point? All right.
Hopefully Conrad wins it.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure this out because actual price... is $1,005, which means Doug and Dan tie.
I'm not closer
with 876, bro.
No. Oh, you're right,
bro. Come on.
My math is bad, boy.
Wait,
boy.
No, that's pretty close. Let's do some.
No.
You guys are almost $200 off.
No, you're right. I just freaked out because there was two the same number, and I
which
got.
Which I actually
jumped the gun.
I was gonna put 1,900.
Dan, I was putting 1,350, but I'm all, no, we're gonna go 1,300.
I'm not afraid to say it. The last math class I ever took was my third semester of college, so it's been a long time.
Oh, like 1,005. I won that, bro.
No, 1,005. That means C-Rad.
295.
Yeah, 1,005. C-Rad is the winner.
Barely.
No, I'm pretty close.
All right.
That would have been the first time in history that we had the same bid and it won.
That would have been wild. All right. This was a big.
We may need to have a rule going forward.
Oh, this is a.
This
big
is
boy.
A big boy.
Like
number
a coin
to five
flip or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to be a coin flip.
Yeah.
Ooh, like Justin that. Crawford number
or,
five.
Or Wade, actually though. Maybe by well no because not everything's by cent anyway. Red Lava, number to five, Justin
Damn,
Crawford.
Man, that's a big ass card right there.
Of course, Carl Crawford's son, another son of a major leaguer.
Man.
31 bids. It sold on April 30th. Red Lava.
Jeez.
This is such a nice. And it's the color. I mean, Phillies.
Let's go.
Red.
It is a wave, though.
It's a red. Yes.
It is a wave.
Yes.
All right. Ready for my score?
All right.
$4,233.
Wow. $4,233. Got it.
$5,700.
All right.
$3,999.
At least we're all apart. This is one.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Everybody all over the map.
So
actual
close.
Price. Doug is on the board. $2,033.78.
Sell to these guys, apparently. Well,
I thought he'd be the number two guy pretty easily.
What is the point of ripping this product?
I'm a little shocked.
At $700 a box.
Now,
you hit one of the main guys, number to five.
But it's not your daddy's red, so this might be something. This might be something to it that
and it's not
we're
graded.
Not catching on. Yeah, and it's not graded as well.
Bowman's a great.
I know what it is.
Bowman's a great.
I invented that.
I'm just
that
saying.
Tagline.
I know you did.
I love the. That's a great. It's the greatest product I've ever opened, guys.
Thank you.
Oh wait, yeah, me too. I've. Speaking real, for
I do
a second.
Like this.
Nah.
I do.
This
I do
Bowman
like
that I've opened
but
up in the
much,
last.
How
10
much
years.
Was that card?
That card was $2,033.78.
Okay, and we could say that probably is a top.
That might be your
100 card out of the run.
I think it's at least the second guy in this set. To me, that's the second.
So it is anywhere from a top 50 to a top 100 pull. In the run.
Not a power guy, though.
Yeah, easily.
Okay.
It might be a top 20.
And a box is about $650. So you can buy a case, mm-hmm. and you hit a top 50 pull.
Maybe it was a bad timing on
and
the
you
auction.
Get about half your money back.
Should have did a buy it now. Should have graded it. I would have graded it. Maybe
should've,
unless
should've
it was
been
a big
patient,
flaw.
Apparently, but. Clearly.
I'm ruining lives here. Let's go.
All right, let's keep doing that.
Well,
all right,
maybe
next
we figured out Justin Crawford is not the guy in the set.
Maybe.
Pitcher. We got a pitcher auto. Kyle Harrison, who is probably the number one pitcher in this thing. It's a gold shimmer, number 250 of Giants top prospect pitcher Kyle Harrison. This sold also on April 30th. It had 32 bids. Currently, right now, C-Rad with one.
Let's see how silly these Giants fans are.
We get pretty silly.
All right.
Took 2 out of 3 against the defending champ. We're back.
You guys got locked it in?
Yep.
We're back.
$465.
$465 for Doug.
I don't know what these cards are worth, man.
$375.
Okay. I don't know. $1,175.
Wow. All right, $1,175.
I got to be a really crazy Giants fan to pay $1,100 for that.
But he's like the number one pitcher.
Yeah, he is.
And it's, again, these are like $650 a bar. Like, that's a case hit there probably.
Yeah. Actual price, just making sure I should have known. Again, math not my forte. Once again, Doug. On the board.
I pretty much won already.
$657.
So it paid for your box.
Yeah. Kyle Harrison.
And you have two more autos.
You got two more autos. Not bad. Yeah, that's exactly. Pretty good. $657 is the actual price.
Yeah.
Doug needs one more to win. Doug is one. When was the last time we had a W for Doug? It's been a little while, right?
Felt like it was yesterday.
Is this another red?
Okay. I was confused by this. It is not a red because if you could see, it is numbered to 25. And whatever the lighting was weird. It's an orange shimmer.
Oh, wow.
Orange shimmer. Okay. I know. I thought it was a red shimmer, but it is a orange shimmer. You can see very faintly 24 out of 25 if you're watching the video of Matt Mervis. This was my pick to click here.
That,
I like this guy.
That 100% looks red.
It does. It does.
That
somebody scanner it.
Yeah, I know. Somebody scanned it and looks weird, but it's
that's a tough go.
It looks red, but it is. But you can see it is numbered to 25.
Gonna get some messages on the old eBay on
that
one.
Yeah, maybe not. Well, it only had 20 bids. At the least bids of all these, maybe because somebody was like, "What the hell, man?" 20 bids. Matt Mervis, orange shimmer. It sold April 30th. Again, Doug needs one to win. Dan needs to get on the board.
I was originally going to go $1,700, but I'm going $1,050.
Okay.
$1,050.
$957 for C-Rad.
$1,200. Jeez, we're pretty close. $1,200. Actual price. It's really close, actually. Let me just double check.
Put it in the bank.
Yep. Okay. Oh, no.
Carry the one.
It's actually not as close as I thought it was. Actual price. We have a tie game. C-Rad is the winner. Actual price, $909.99.
Jeez.
Wait.
$957. $909.99.
Son of a bitch.
$99. Well, Dan can play spoiler here. And then I've got to figure out another card on the fly. But here we go. Between C-Rad and Doug, this could be for all the marbles.
Oh.
Yeah, we saved the big boy for last.
It's not even in a sleeve.
Good lord, the humanity!
The stand is touching it.
Oh. That is a purple. Purple. Yeah, stand is touching. How dare you? Purple, first Bowman, number to 250. That is Drew Jones. That is the guy you are chasing. This sold on April 30th. It had 38 bids. 38 bids on this baby. 38 bids.
All right.
38 bids, huh? Hold on. I'm still writing mine.
And it's
could be
purple's like a cousin to your daddy's colors.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
mm-hmm.
a close cousin.
I mean, it is a straight up purple. Nothing fancy about it.
Bids. It could be $38.
The problem with the origin of the purple was when it came out originally, they were numbered to 10. And if you notice, there's really no number to 10 auto colors, which maybe they're like, why are we printing number to 10? Let's make it 240 more of them.
The pearl which Greg pulled a Pearl pack today.
He did.
He did pull a Pearl pack.
They do exist.
And those autos are numbered to 10.
So there's an auto in every pack.
That, I believe
I watched a few of them, and they seem like there's an auto.
Yeah, I believe they're all in every pack. But
wonder who we got. Yeah. Who did he get?
Who was the pitcher from the A's? I can't remember his name. Palouse. Colin Palouse. Yeah. Not a huge one, but hey, if you're the A's, you feel good.
Yeah,
Customers are telling me. I know the sell sheet says 1 in 10 cases, but customers are telling me it's more like 1 in 20 cases.
Yeah, wow, tough to pull. That's the first time I think he's pulled them.
And we've opened more than 10
right.
hobbies, so
yeah, it's definitely first.
All right, C-Rag goes first.
All right,
$2,300, Bob.
I got $2,899.
Not that it matters. $2,150.
Oh damn, that's so close to mine, Dan. Come on.
You guys are not going to believe this one. Actual price. First of all, we have a winner. It is Doug, the winner.
Like 5,000 or some shit.
The actual price.
I don't believe it.
$7,000.
Nah, that's not real.
$7,000.
Never mind. The value is in the product.
There is value in this product.
There is value in the product. You just have to hit Drew Jones.
Well, guys, I just want to say the reason I won is because I have the best nipples in the hobby. So,
well, actually,
by far.
Actually, second best. I mean, let's be real.
Right between the eyes.
The best nipples in the hobby, guys.
And
it helped me today. It helped me today. It was a little nipply in this new painted room here, and I got the bids in, and I won. Even though that shouldn't even count as a point. I'm so far off.
$7,000 for an ungraded Drew Jones.
Not even a sleeve.
Not even a sleeve.
I thought base autos were going for 1,000. Why is the 250 going for 7X?
No, I think the base auto, it was early though. I think it was 1,800 with bids on the base auto.
This is also the first one of it to sell. So there's always that, which for whatever reason, it's the first one. So therefore, it's
the first. It was the first Drew Jones or the first purple?
I think it was like the first purple.
Congrats on the sale.
I take back what I was saying, because before, I mean, we're going over like some of the main guys in that Guess Your Price, and I'm like, yeah. I don't like these should be going for more based on the price point of the boxes. They should be going for more, but you see a hit like Drew Jones and it sells for $7,000 raw.
Well, we pulled a True Blue out of the 10 case, right?
Yeah.
So then that should
a True
be
Blue.
$10,000 then.
Yeah.
With that theory.
Yeah, so the person that bought that player spot really did come up because they got two Drew Jones.
Yeah, they got a base auto and
the blue.
Yeah, and the blue. Wow.
And I remember pulling a yellow paper too.
Yeah. Yep.
To 75.
Yep. That should have some value.
Yeah.
Well, shoot, man, it feels good to win. I'm not going to lie. It's been a little while.
It's been a while for you.
I grinded out a victory, guys. But if you guys want more Bowman, the 10-case player break goes down this Sunday. We're going to run it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, split it up into 3 days. 10 cases, 5 hobby, 5 jumbo, tons of cards. So get your spots. Spots are flying already. Go to mojobreak.com for that. And stay tuned next week. We have a very special guest in studio, and there'll be some awesome content coming your way. So stay tuned for that on our IG at mojobreak_com, as well as the same on Twitter as well, mojobreak_com. And join our Facebook group, The Hype Podcast Community. Contribute to the show. I see some good posts in that group. Continue it. We appreciate it. And if you guys are looking for boxes, head over to mojobreakshop.com, and we'll see you guys on the next hype. Peace.